Thank you for listening. Love Worth Finding is solely a listener and viewer-supported ministry, and this message is available because of the prayers and donations of people just like you. To make a donation, go to lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. And thank you for joining us in making an eternal difference.
What is the New Age? Where did it come from? Defining it is so very difficult because it is what we call eclectic. That is, it's part of this and part of that and part of this synthesized together. It's sort of a melting pot of Eastern philosophy. Now, may I say, as we're going to see, it is not new. It is an age-old heresy, and I'm going to point that out. But what New Agers believe, if we could oversimplify it, is a return to the ancient wisdom of the Eastern religions. It's sort of a cosmic sponge that absorbs all religions and all cultures and all governments together. Putting it very simply, in the New Age, God is impersonal. He is not the God of the Bible. He is called force or energy, are the one all-pervading reality. Now, I suppose one of the definitive works on the New Age is written by a proponent of the New Age called Marilyn Ferguson. She wrote a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy, and she's a leading propagandist for the New Age. And this is what Marilyn Ferguson had to say. A leaderless but powerful network is working to bring about radical change in the United States. Broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy. You see, she calls it a conspiracy, but a benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. The great, shuddering, irrevocable shift overtaking us is a new mind, an ascendance of a startling worldview. Now, in essence, there are two basic beliefs. One is evolutionary godhood. That is, God is everything and we're all becoming God. And the other is global unity, bringing everything together. Now, even before I get in the message, let me just give you a few just code words. See if you've heard any of these words or read them or see them in advertisement or seen them in movies or heard them in conversation. Words like Age of Aquarius, Aquarian Conspiracy, New Consciousness, New Orientalism, Cosmic Humanism, Cosmic Consciousness, Mystical Humanism, Human Potential Movement, Holistic Health Movement. Are some of these buzzwords like this: awakening, enlightenment, centering, channeling, consciousness, cosmic energy, force of life, global village, holistic, human potential, self-actualization, networking, planetary vision, spaceship Earth, synergistic, transcendental, transformational, transpersonal. You hear words like that? Well, obviously, everybody who uses those words is not a New Ager, because they are part of the conversation of today. But when you hear those words, a flag ought to go up. They ought to alert you. Not only words, but symbols. Have you seen any of these symbols around lately? And a great use of the symbols, like the rainbow, the pyramid, triangle, eye in a triangle, Pegasus, that's the winged horse, concentric circles, rays of light, the swastika, the yin-yang. Do you know what yin-yang is? That's that circle where the two things look like polywogs on the inside that are all wrapped around each other. A goat head on a pentagram. The numbers 666. The unicorn. Now, if anybody wears or bears one of these emblems or symbols, that doesn't mean that he's a New Ager if he's got a rainbow hanging in his off of his rearview mirror or something like that. any more than anybody wearing a cross is a Christian. But what I'm trying to say is these things all ought to alert you somehow, somewhere, that all of this is in the air and we're facing it. And believe me, the kids are facing it, many of them overtly and some subliminally. Now, Satan knows that he's not going to sell Eastern mysticism and Hinduism, which this really is, to Americans as Hinduism and ancient mysticism. So what he has done is just simply repackaged the product that he sold to Eve so long ago. Now, I want to show you the four things that he told Eve so long ago, and then I want to show you and explain to you how what New Ageism is a repackaging of the mustiest lies around that go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm reading here Genesis 3, beginning in verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. And literally, that's God, G-O-D. The reason it's plural in the King James is that it is a plural noun, but it stands for Jehovah God. Ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, here's what Satan has said to the New Agers. He said, if you want to put in an Aquarian conspiracy, if you want to infiltrate the West as well as the East, here's the way to do it. Number one, apply satanic deception. Now, what is the deception that Satan told Eve so long ago, and what is he saying today? First deception, the potential for self-development. Look in verse 4. Look at it right here. The serpent said, You will not die. You will not surely die. Now, Satan knows the instinctive fear of death that man has, and he knows that if he can offer a solution to death, that people, many of them, will buy into it. Now, how do the New Agers answer the fear of death? With the doctrine of reincarnation. Remember this, that reincarnation is a foundational stone of Buddhism and New Ageism. And what is reincarnation? That when you die, you are born again, not spiritually, born again physically, born again as another creature or as another person. Now, you may be a human, you may be an animal, a male this time, maybe a female next time, or if your karma is not good, rather than progressing, you may go backward a little bit. You may be a fish or a spider or some kind of a bug. So the idea, though, is reincarnation. You say, well, people don't believe in reincarnation today. It is incredible how many people believe in reincarnation. The idea is that you go round and round and you get as many chances at perfection as you need. Now, that is, you will not surely die. But in all of this reincarnation, when you do die, you don't die to meet a personal God in judgment to come. There is no personal God to whom you must give an account. Now, what the New Agers believe is that plants and animals and humans are all interrelated. And they're all in a process of becoming. And so you can transmigrate from one form to another. Shirley MacLaine said, and I quote her, It's like show business. You keep doing it until you get it right. And so we just sort of don't die. We just play musical chairs, and we go and we come back, and we just keep on going and coming. Now, they believe in a law called karma, K-A-R-M-A, which is an impersonal force. You have a certain karma about you. And with that karma, you build up credits or debits. This is the way they have the caste system in India, where there are high caste people and the untouchables, the lowest people, whose karma evidently has been bad. And so these people never really have evolved yet to the higher state. And incidentally, it's this kind of thinking that caused the gas ovens of Hitler. But the New Agers believe that through karma, everybody gets what he deserves. So if you come back as a spider, that's what you deserve. But if you keep on progressing, you have no fear of death because you get as many chances as you need to get it right. And finally, you come to a state called nirvana. And when you come to nirvana, that is, you have now become perfect and you are absorbed into one eternal reality. Now, this is the way the New Agers answer the problem of evil. They would say that the little children who are suffering get what they deserve. Abused children get what they deserve. What has happened is, evidently, they did something in a prior life that brings them into this world, into that situation. And so there is no injustice in the world. And if it's bad for them this time, they'll have a better chance perhaps next time. It's incredible some of the things that they're trying to explain, not only the problem of evil and suffering, but even such things as homosexuality, explained by reincarnation. I mean, Shirley MacLaine put it this way. She said, quote, "I mean, maybe a soul makes a rocky transition from a female to a male body. For instance, and there is leftover emotional residue and attraction from a previous reincarnation. So in the last life, you may have been a woman, and in this life, you're a man, and so therefore you still have those female tendencies, and that's what makes you a homosexual." We say, "Pastor, nobody believes that stuff." Dr. Andrew Greeley of the University of Chicago showed that 67% of Americans confess that they believe in the supernatural, and 29%, almost one-third of Americans, believe in reincarnation. That's incredible, but they do. And so what would you do if you were the devil and you wanted to promote New Ageism? Well, what you would do is to activate satanic deception. Number one, what you would do, you would say you need to hand out to people the potential for self-development. That is, you just keep on going through life until you get it right. But not only self-development, also self-discernment. Look, if you will, in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 3. "For God doth know," now Satan is speaking, "God doth know that in the day that you eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." Self-discernment. You will be able to discern things because through meditation and discovering the light that's in you, you will come to a transformation of cosmic consciousness. You see, New Agers don't believe in a universal theology that's right. They say doctrine is not important at all. What is important is religious experience. The idea is for you to feel, not to think. And what Satan really wants you to do is through meditation and what he calls the opening of your eyes, he wants you to have an experience where you encounter him. But he wants you, when you encounter Satan, to believe that you're in touch with the living God. And so many people have a mystical experience and they say, "I touched God." But they didn't touch God. They came in contact with demonic forces, demon spirits that imitate God. And one of the ways that this happens is transcendental meditation, known as TM, taught in many universities in our land. It is a doorway into this opening, as it were, of the eyes or self-discernment. Now, there are others who say TM takes too long, so they take a shortcut called drugs, psychedelic drugs. Do you remember Timothy Leary? Timothy Leary was a New Ager, and he called drugs the sacrament of the New Age. That is, as we take the bread and the grape juice, to him, LSD was a holy sacrament. That is to expand the consciousness. That is to open the eyes. And so there is self-development. You just keep on going through life. Self-discernment. You wait until your eyes are open. And what does this result in? Self-deification. Look again in verse 5. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, a New Ager would say of himself, I am God, but so is nature. You see, the New Agers are pantheists. Pan, meaning everything, and theist, meaning God. Now, what they believe is everything is God, and God is everything. Pantheism, not polytheism, the belief in many gods, but pantheism, that there is one God, and that one God is everything, and everything is that one God. That thought is the foundation of ancient Hinduism and New Ageism that we face today. Now, Dr. Tozer, one of the great devotional writers of all history, in my estimation, who's now in heaven, said, no religion can ever rise higher than its concept of God. Now, what is the concept of God that the New Agers have? That is this, that the universe is spiritual. But when they mean spiritual, they mean that rather than being a material universe, actually the universe is made up of cosmic energy. And God is an impersonal force. Now, in India, for example, where you have Hinduism, let me show you the difference that that makes. We say God is love. We say here in this church, God is wisdom. But what would the Hindu say? He wouldn't say God is love. He would say love is God. He wouldn't say God is wisdom. He would say wisdom is God. That is, everything is God. And therefore, God is impersonalized. And you, man, are part of the universe. And therefore, you are part of God. And God is a part of you. Now, what does that mean? It means that man, therefore, becomes his own savior. Man never needs a savior in the New Age. You don't hear the New Agers talking about a savior. You read all the New Age literature, and you will never find one time where you will ever read that you need help from God to become what you ought to be. In all New Age literature, you will be told that you already have everything within you. You have the potential within yourself. You are God, and you can save yourself. Now, if you believe in pantheism, as New Agers do, you have no basis for morality whatsoever. A pantheist does not believe that there are distinctions between good and evil. The distinctions between good and evil are only illusions. Why? Because God is everything. And if God is everything, then evil is a part of God, just as good is a part of God. And what seems to be evil is not truly evil. It's all just a part of everything, and everything is God. Alan Watts, who is credited with making Zen Buddhism palatable to Americans, explained it this way. He said this. He said, life is like a play where you see good and bad men in conflict on the stage. But behind the curtain, they are best of friends. Backstage, God and Satan go hand in hand. Yin Min, one of the great Eastern teachers, said, and I quote, if you wish the plain truth, be not concerned about right and wrong. The conflict between right and wrong is the sickness of the mind. Now, let me just tell you how sick the mind can get. You remember Charles Manson, the murderer in California, who's now in prison? He has embraced pantheism. And this is what he said. I mean, here's this man who doesn't believe he's done evil. He says, and I quote, if God is all, then what is evil? You hear his question? If God is everything, then how can there be evil? God is everything, and everything is God. Now, to the Eastern mind that is infiltrating America, they teach that God is male and female, plus and minus, darkness and light. He is perfection and what is sometimes called sin. In this universe, everything is moral, for everything is of God. Now, if there's no sin, then you see man's problem is not sin, but ignorance. And all he needs to do is to be enlightened. And that, my friend, is the goal of transcendental meditation, where you sit around and meditate and make your mind blank until you reach somehow this state of awareness. The figure of that is a fat Buddha sitting under a tree, uncaring, unfeeling, unthinking, until he's finally reached the spiritual state. But actually, there is no morality whatever. Everything is God. And if everything is God, then man is God too. Now, Terry Cole Whitaker, at one time professed to be a Christian evangelist, said this, quote, "You are God, I am God, together we are God, and together with our own consciousness, awakening, and choice, we create the kingdom of God. Worship yourself. You are the light." Now you say, well, how wonderful that I can be God. You see, that's exactly what Satan told Eve. You be like God. But my dear friend, wait just a moment. Pantheism is not a compliment to you, to call you God, because if you're God, so are the worms God. And so are the grasshoppers God. And every other bug is God, because everything is God. Well, you say, what difference does that make? Well, man, therefore, loses his uniqueness. And man is no different now from the animals. Have you ever wondered where all these animal rights people have come from suddenly? Tell you that you can't eat meat, and you can't wear fur, or you can't do this or that, and be kind to a cow? Where'd all that come from recently? I'll tell you why. Because they believe that those creatures are God, just like you are God. India, for example, has the potential to be one of the richest countries on earth, the richest countries in the world, but it practices primarily pantheism. And you know what that results in? A devaluing of human life. In India, for example, you're not to kill the rats, because every rat is God. In 1977, the National Geographic magazine estimated that 20% of India's food supply is being consumed by rats. 20%. They said that's enough grain to fill a freight train that would extend from Los Angeles to New York City. Each year being eaten by rats. And then on top of that, monkeys take another 15% of India's food. And another 15% of the food is fed to non-productive cows. And to the people in India, these animals are more important than their starving babies. You see, in pantheism, animals are not really elevated to the status of men. Men are lowered to the status of animals. You're God, so is everything God. So you see, what you have is self-development, self-discernment, self-deification, and then what's the next lie that Satan told Eve? It's self-determination. Look, if you will, in verse 5, he says, "Then you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." Do you see that? You will be able to determine for yourself what is good for you. You, as God, will know good and evil. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, that may be right for you, but it's not right for me? And what is right for you is not necessarily good for everybody. We call that today relativism. And relativism and New Ageism go hand in hand. You see, if all is God and God is all, then evil and good are God too. And so you cannot make a distinction empirically between right and wrong. Right and wrong are only illusions. Remember the players on the stage, backstage, they're good friends. Well, you say relativism, rather than a fixed standard of right and wrong. Does anybody believe in that? As far back as 1976, a survey was made of 9,000 graduate students of 40 universities. 51%, a majority of those students, said they believed in moral relativism. That is, there's no fixed standard of right and wrong. You ever heard of Ted Turner? Ted Turner, the broadcaster, he controls a vast media empire. And he has suggested we don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. He has suggested that perhaps the Ten Commandments could be changed to the Ted Commandments. And these Ted commandments, rather than the 10, he calls 10 voluntary initiatives. And he said, and I quote, "It is ridiculous to think that something could be written in stone and be rules for all time. That would only work if there isn't any change. Christianity is a religion for losers. I don't want anybody to die for me. I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, then so be it." Now, Ted Turner went on and called for the changing of the method of dating time. Whereas today we date time as B.C. before Christ and A.D. Anno Domini, that is, the year of our Lord, Turner wants us to change time to B.P., that is, before peace, and A.P., after peace. And he set the goal for peace at the year 2000. Boy, that fits right in with the New Agers and their crowd. Now, what he calls is for a complete rejection of military force in favor of united arbitration. And by the way, all New Agers believe in globalism. They want to make the world a global village. And the elimination of all weapons of man's destruction. The Bible says, of course, through peace, the Antichrist will destroy many. He campaigns for the support of the United Nations to collectively improve the conditions of the planet. Now, here's something very interesting. How does Ted Turner say that he's going to carry out his agenda? He gave the answer to his fellow broadcasters recently when he told them that working together, they could mold the attitudes and convictions of the masses. He says, "We are the ones who determine what the people's attitudes are. It's in our hands." Does that frighten you? Here's a man who says that the Ten Commandments are just simply out of date. This is what Eve was told by Satan so long ago, "Then your eyes will be open, and you will be as God, and you will be able to discern between good and evil." That is, you just simply choose for yourself. Now, that's relativism. Americans are so pragmatic. No longer do we ask, is it true? We just ask, does it work? And of course, in New Ageism, there is no sin because nothing is wrong. If I were the devil and wanted to apply New Ageism, first of all, I would begin with satanic deception. Now, may I tell you that a deceiver, in a way, always has a head start. Let me give you a little exercise today. How much is 2 plus 2? 4. All right, is there another answer to that? Not a right one. All right, now, how many wrong answers are there? There are an infinite number of wrong answers. Only one right answer. Do you see, in a way, an advantage the devil has? You see, truth is not relative. There is only one right answer. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." But for Satan, he can use as many lies as there are Americans. If you don't like this lie, he'll give you another lie. So number one, apply satanic deception. Number two, if you're a New Ager, appeal to selfish desire. Satanic deception, I just gave you that. Secondly, selfish desire. Notice in verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat." Now, how are you going to sell Eastern religion to Americans? I say you have to repackage it. You can't sell it as Hinduism. But what you have to do is to find out what man's hidden desires and selfish desires are. If you want to trap a bear, you use meat. If you want to catch a fish, you use a worm. If you want to snare a bird, you use seed. If you want to catch the modern American, hold up there money, pleasure, ego, power, success. And that is all that you'll find in the New Ageism. They're all telling you how you can achieve, how you can have it. And what they do, they just simply make the lies of Eden appear with friendly faces. You see, Americans are so pragmatic. Have you ever heard of the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill? Analyzed, it's a form of New Ageism. It sold millions of copies. And people can change themselves, Napoleon Hill says, through the power of positive thinking and self-motivation. And the book builds upon this basic premise. Anything the human mind can believe, the human mind can achieve. Now, Napoleon Hill says that what he teaches was communicated to him by disembodied spirits. He said that he had unseen friends that hovered above him. He called them the school of the masters. And they told him to reveal this, quote, truth to the world. Well, if you're God, then you can understand that. You can achieve what you believe, and if you could achieve what you can believe, then you would be God. And this is what New Ageism teaches. Now, it's amazing, dear friend, how the New Agers are appealing to man's desire to achieve. In many businesses, New Age practitioners are brought in. They would not think of bringing a preacher, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to increase sales and productivity. But according to Erwin Lutzer, Pacific Bell, Procter & Gamble, TRW, Ford, Polaroid are only a few of dozens of companies now that have either hired gurus or are teaching seminars based on New Age thought. Fortune magazine, the gurus have adapted their standard programs to suit business clients and are finding a fast-growing market among corporations still searching for the answer to productivity problems. And these Power of the Mind teachers include Forum, formerly EST for Erhard Seminar Training, Scientology, and a rash of other human potential groups. Satanic deception wrapped up in selfish desire. When Eve saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise, she went for it. Here's the third thing you would do. You would not only apply satanic deception, you would not only appeal to selfish desire, but you would appropriate a subtle disguise. Now look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Subtlety is his trademark. Now when you think of the word serpent there, don't think of someone or something hideous and repulsive like a snake today. The Hebrew word there means shining one. Lucifer was an angel of light. Whatever creature, however he came in the Garden of Eden, he was not the hideous reptile that we think of today. And the devil today still appears as an angel of light. He wears a subtle disguise. For example, yoga today would be called a guide to health. Transcendental meditation would be told, well, you don't have to believe in it to use it in order to reduce your blood pressure or to give you better circulation or to help you to sleep better. Now, generally, TM and these other things are disguised as a pseudoscience today. The Maharishi, the spokesman for Transcendental Meditation, talked about how TM should be marketed in America. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, whenever religion dominates the mass consciousness, transcendental deep meditation should be taught in terms of religion. Today, when politics is guiding the destiny of man, the teaching would be primarily based on the field of politics and secondarily on the plane of economics. It seems for the present that this transcendental deep meditation should be made available to people through the agencies of the government. Now, you hear what he's saying? He says, don't package it as religion unless that's the best thing. New Thought, which is a New Age magazine, says this, New Ageism should be taught from kindergarten upward. And then with these words, but unless we name it something else, like bioenergetic physics, it's going to remain a religious idea and subsequently stay out of our schools. This is not religion, it is science. So what they do, they just repackage it, change the name, give it something like bioenergetic physics, and put it in school, or in politics, or wherever. Sell it as a science. Imagine the uproar if someone would have tempted to give his testimony for Jesus, as Shirley MacLaine gave her testimony on nationwide television. The hue and cry would go up across the land. But now you see there's this subtle disguise. Well, last of all, if you wanted to sell New Ageism to Americans, first of all, you would apply satanic deception. Secondly, you would appeal to sinful desire. Thirdly, you would appropriate a subtle disguise. And then, fourthly, you would achieve a strategic dissemination. You would have your evangelists. Did you know the devil had his evangelist? Continue to read here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now watch it. And gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. Eve was not content until she had, under satanic inspiration now, become an evangelist for the devil. And I've found some advertisements and some things that have come into my home. Secrets that can banish pain. May we send you two very important books, absolutely free. One to use for 21 days with no cost or obligation. The other to use and keep forever and enjoy in superior health. Well, that doesn't sound bad. Everybody wants to be healthy. I leaf through it. It's replete with New Age overtones. Here's one. A full-page ad. Get the owner's manual for your mind. Friend, I already have it. But here it is. Read, listen. Number one New York Times bestseller. In many thousands of letters, readers praise Dianetics technology, an organized science of the mind built on natural laws, proven effective in over 35 years of testing. A new science that reveals the single source of mental problems, stress, worries, nightmares, self-doubt, and lack of confidence, and so forth. Now, you can buy that in any bookstore here. New York Times, number one bestseller. I didn't go out looking for this stuff. It came to me. Here's one. Massage your mind. Plug into the healing calm with this deep relaxation cassette. Relax, sleep, relieve stress. Hailed as the next frontier of our medical future, mental medicine. How to use your mind to heal your body. I was in the Atlanta airport, picked up the Atlanta Constitution. Here's an article, Eating with a Conscience. Global issues, personal health, food for thought. Here's a picture of a cow and a poem. How would you feel if a cow ate you, caught you and bopped you and chopped you in two, fried you or boiled you or put you in a stew? So put down your steak when you're starting to chew. How would you feel if a cow ate you? And then it goes on to tell how there's going to be a great American meat out, where Americans are not going to eat meat. And there's a long article here, and it is filled with New Ageism and so forth. Now, folks, the Bible is God's Word. There is but one God. He is the true God who made us all. When we die, we're going to face Him in the judgment, and there's only one way to escape, and that's to come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you were to die tonight, are you certain you'd go to heaven? My dear friend, you'll go to heaven or hell. You'll not be reincarnated. There is a God, and He is holy. His Son is Jesus. Believe on Him, and you'll be saved.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like additional copies or information about other resources, write to us at Love Worth Finding, P.O. Box 38300, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You can also visit our online bookstore at lwf.org. In the U.S., you can place Visa or MasterCard orders by calling 1-800-274-5683, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.